Warning! The following is intended for mature audiences. It includes references to the use of illicit substances as well as crude humor. Listener discretion is advised. Ah! That new ship smell. Smells like eggs and copper. Either way, Johnny's counting on us. There isn't a moment to lose.
Well, give me a second to find out how to work this hyperdrive. It looks like this hyperdrive has a hyperdrive. It's very advanced.
Very well. I'll take a look around. Jenkins! J. Jinx!
Huh?
Quick, shut the blast door!
Why?
I don't want to say, just hit it! Okay. I don't want you to freak out. But I was messing around in the captain's quarters, and I accidentally activated the gyro-rotating erotic massage androids.
That sounds terrifyingly awesome.
Yeah. Either way, there's like 50 of them, and they're headed this way.
Holy crap!
Last time I checked, you don't have 50 pelvises.
Well, what are we supposed to do?
Okay. According to the manual, they last up to an hour. All we have to do is keep them at bay until they power down.
Well, what the hell are we going to do in the meantime, trapped in the bridge?
You want a podcast?
All right.
Cloris Leachman, we hardly knew ye, America.
I don't even know who that is.
Cloris Leachman?
Yeah, I hardly know her at all.
She's Frau Blucher.
Okay.
Yeah. You may know her as Mama from Raising Hope.
Okay. One episode of that show I've seen.
Dude, that show's golden. We haven't even got through the intro. Damn it. You've just tuned into the War Pod, part of the Space City Nerd Network. Don't forget to check out the Warlocks Games and Beer on YouTube. And don't forget, if you're checking us out on iTunes or SoundCloud, go over to warlocksgamesandbeer.com, find this podcast, or go to spacecitynerd.podbean.com and also find this podcast, and you are sure to find links below. Tonight, we're going to be talking about how Cheshire Schools want to lock up parents for video games. Nintendo is in the rears. You need to sell your soul for Super Troopers. I talk about old board games. And we reveal the top three gods of all time. But first. That's right, J. Jinx. A topic you didn't know was going to happen.
Uh-oh.
We're having a superhero mashup.
Oh, God.
Yeah, buddy. Superhero mashup once again. For those of you who haven't heard one of our patented superhero mashups before, it's when we take one fictional character and give them the attributes of the other fictional character and then debate whether or not it would be a bane, a boon, or no effect at all. Today, we're mashing up Batman and Super Mario. J. Jinx.
Those turtles won't know what the hell hit them. That's for sure.
What?
I'm the hero this Mushroom Kingdom deserves.
But not the one it needs right now. That's Waluigi. If Super Mario had Batman's utility belt, bane, boon, or no effect?
Well, I don't think it could be anything but a boon, because he seems to have literally everything on that belt.
Okay.
I mean, troublesome platforms out of your jump range? Grappling hook. Troublesome turtles? Batarangs. Troublesome boss? Anti-boss spray. Whatever.
Anti-boss shark repellent?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't say if Mario had the bat chopper. That's where all the repellent sprays are.
Oh, is that true?
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Okay, but you also have to take into consideration everything that Super Mario already has. Augmented agility, lots of things that help him fly, projectiles in the form of fireballs.
Well, we didn't say that Super Mario had access to all of those power-ups, did we?
It's just what he's got.
Not all the time.
Not
he
all
has
the...
He has to eat a crazy mushroom.
That's true, but nevertheless, you know, Batman doesn't always have... He regularly runs out of stuff on his utility belt.
I don't think that's ever actually happened. I'm sure you can quote an example, but
I believe in the episode of Scooby-Doo movies where Batman meets Scooby-Doo, they have to Batman gives out his last two bat cookies, meaning that he was depleted, and for the rest of the mission there would be no more bat cookies.
Fair enough. Bat cookies be damned.
All right. So you think it's definitely a boon?
Well, I mean, first off, just wearing the utility belt doesn't mean he can't shoot fire and fly. So
that's true, but I think there would be no noticeable effect.
Okay.
I think that the stuff that Super Mario has access to is already as good or better than the stuff on Batman's belt, so he would be falling back to his old standbys of doubling his own size and becoming invincible instead of grabbing a flashbang or a smoke bomb.
Fair enough.
I'm just saying.
I think I was going into the question with a different point of view of him not having access to literally everything he's ever had, so.
Okay. I'll give you that.
Just the fact that the star exists means that pretty much nothing would really help.
Ah, but wait. Starting in Super Mario 3, Mario gains the ability to start accruing power-ups to save later.
It's true.
So he essentially does have a utility belt full of power-ups.
And it's pretty sweet.
That's what I'm saying.
Especially those P-Wings.
Oh, God. Yeah, but they're so... I actually have a theory about the P-Wings. So, in Super Mario 3, where we're first introduced to P abilities of any kind,
mm-hmm.
especially kidney stones, we're first introduced to P abilities in the form of the P-Wing, and those are always sent to you from Peach. There's no stage in the game to get them.
Yeah.
And she... she's free for most of the game. She isn't kidnapped until the end of World 7. I think that she's actually stealing them from Bowser. That's what makes sense to me, considering that you always find notes from her after you beat an airship.
Possible.
I think she's the real hero of Super Mario 3.
Mm, interesting.
She also sends Clouds, doesn't she?
So it's kind of like Mario is the Tyler Durden.
Well, it's more like Peach is codenamed Garbo. And like everything is possible because of what Peach has done in the background, behind the scenes. Know what I mean?
Okay.
Are you familiar with codenamed Garbo?
No, not particularly.
Okay, codename Garbo. He was this crazy spy. I don't even know his real name. I don't know that it's unknowable. I just like calling him codename Garbo. He was a double agent.
Mm-hmm.
Who was pretending to be a Nazi throughout the Second World War, and he was actually awarded, I think, the British Star. And also, like, the German Cross of Valor. Like, because, you know, he was a decorated soldier for the Germans, and all the while he was a double agent. And he's essentially the reason that Normandy happened.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he got Hitler obsessed with this other area of France being attacked. They were almost certain that they were going to come from the east, and they wound up coming... and that was on purpose so that the Allies could come from the south. And that's what Peach did.
I suppose.
Yeah.
Okay.
She gave us her southern peach.
So anyway, I guess I will then redact my statement and say probably no known effect then, or no real effect, because yes, he'll have crazy abilities already.
Based on everything I said about World War II, you've come to that conclusion?
Yes.
Good. Okay.
I've watched enough History Channel.
Now, what if Batman and only Batman, as per the rules of Super Mario Brothers, had access to power-ups hidden in Gotham City.
I wonder where you'd get them.
They'd be in stuff. Like
just question mark blocks in the side of buildings.
It's not like there aren't question mark blocks in Gotham. The Riddler's... we'll say the Riddler's leaving them around.
That'd be interesting.
For fun. Bane, boon, or no effect?
That's a tough one. What's in them?
Normal Super Mario power-ups.
Oh, God, then boon, definitely. He can literally become invincible.
That's
or twice
true.
His size. So.
Or both, with fireballs coming out of his mouth.
Correct. Like, all of a sudden, that turns into a whole different comic.
You know, it's not a bad idea. I mean, who's that crazy alien who can give anybody any power, and he's nigh omnipotent, but you got to say his name backwards or something?
I don't know.
Oh, well, there's one of those entities in the DC universe that could easily pull this off.
Yeah, kind of like the Beyonder or something.
More whimsical, and actually,
kind of like a Q.
Yeah, like Q, because I would also say that this entity is more intelligent than the Beyonder.
Okay.
Because the Beyonder, he at least in Secret Wars 2, when he comes to Earth and like he's trying to understand humanity by living among us and stuff like that, it seems like he can't just gain knowledge the way that this entity, I'm going to call him Wizzletinks, and it is something as froofy as that, he seems to just have knowledge of things. He was actually in an episode of the Teen Titans from the early 2000s, and he's supposed to be like the biggest fanboy of Robin.
Okay.
And his name is Dick Grayson backwards.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Jesus.
All right. I'm going to have to agree with you on Superpowered Batman. It's not like having infinite fireball shooting out of his mouth would hurt him.
Correct. Or being able to fly up in the sky in a raccoon suit. I mean, shit. That's one of his biggest weaknesses, is he can't fly on his own volition.
Or the cape.
It's true.
Just normal cape gliding.
Wow. Wow.
Although, did you see the new flying mechanic in the next Arkham game? They had a cutscene, not a cutscene, but they had gameplay footage at E3 last year.
Okay.
What he can do, you get the Batmobile in the next one.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And what you can do...
Is that Arkham Knight?
I think so, yeah.
I thought Arkham Knight, was that not out yet?
I don't know. Maybe we'll check.
Okay. But go on.
What he can do is he can open the canopy to his Batmobile and extend his cape out so that all of the air just goes up into his bizzity bam.
Oh, no, Arkham Knight is not out yet.
Okay, I didn't think so. I feel like
it was delayed apparently one day ago, in fact.
I'd imagine. But no, he can essentially just let the influx of air coming into the cabin of the Batmobile as he opens the hood at full speed billow into his cape, and he just shoots right up.
Huh.
Which, assuming that the Batcape can do what it claims to be able to do in the comics and in the games, etc., that should work. It would be kind of like, it's kind of like parasailing.
Okay.
I think it's fascinating. I don't care what you think.
Well, I don't care either.
All right. There's something else I want to talk about, and is it my imagination, or have we been a little heavy on the show lately? Like, we always seem to have, like, some issue we're talking about, or is that just me?
Oh, I mean, that's just what people talk about, I guess.
Well, I mean, on the show, specifically.
Maybe. I've only been in the last couple episodes, haven't had a large break before then, so maybe?
I'm talking about the last few episodes.
Then yes.
What issue did we talk about last time?
Female Thor.
I wanted to bring this one up because I thought it was interesting. Okay, if you look up links for any story about this, they're gonna say head teachers. Which, because that was always at the beginning of sentences, I thought head was like a specific organization. It's not. head teacher means principal in Britain. So I want to preface with that. But in the Cheshire region, city, whatever it is in Britain, I'm not sure. Principals, essentially, head teachers are they're lobbying for jail time for parents whose kids are given access to violent video games.
Yeah, specifically though, letting them play them.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
So talking about games like GTA, Call of Duty.
The ones that specifically called out were GTA, I think, Call of Duty, and then there was one more that was just really violent.
I'm going to guess Cooking Mama 2.
Oh, my God. I felt bad playing that game.
The way she pounds that dough, and what savage color is dough? White.
Just savage.
Pounding Whitey. Which, actually, I think is the name of a movie. But we're not going to get into that. So, what do you think about this?
Okay, so this is a really hard topic to... Basically, it's a really... It's a tough situation that we've been dealing with for a long time. I mean, easily ever since I was a kid, and they had the whole ESRB thing coming up. And as much as violent video games probably are to blame for some stuff, it's just freaking parenting that is the real target. But the problem is that you can't force parents to parent correctly in a certain way, so you have to target something you can control. Does that make sense?
Definitely.
So that's mainly what you got, is that these schools are saying, look, these kids, they're growing up, they have no respect, they have no, you know, they're just talking about...
They got no chutzpah. They're always in my kitchen while I'm trying to make the fazoli.
Okay.
No, you're like, they got no respect. They got no respect for their elders. They're always on my knees saying, Daddy, give me $5. And I'm like, for what? Like, I need condoms at the corner store. He's like, come on, get out of here.
Italian racism aside. no, but like, it's a long running problem that it's just as a society, as the parents get busier and busier because we're more and more time starved, kids get less and less attention, which means kids get more and more attention paid to TVs, video games, and whatever. So that's the big problem, but you can't tell someone how to parent. So.
Okay, that being said, do you think, based upon what you've said, do you think that targeting this specific social ill is an appropriate way to go about it?
I think that jail time is a little bit, of an overreaction.
Mm-hmm.
However, I think what they're trying to do is just elicit a response. So I agree with some of the stuff they're talking about as far as, like, maybe they should bring it up that these parents being neglectful. Maybe they should bring this up and that. But, like, trying to pass a law to call for jail time, nah, I don't know about that.
Do you think that that's just them overbidding?
I think it's them just shooting high and trying to get a response.
And that's probably what it is. I'm sure there's extremists in the movement who want to see, you know, life in prison. ultimately, I do think that taking a parent out of the situation by incarcerating them
is
would be
worse.
Yeah.
Actually, my father explained to me a study one time that was done that kids who had abusive parents still, when they actually did a study, still would prefer the parent to be there than not to be there. Even when they're the worst kind of parent, they still would rather the parent be there than not be there. So yes, that would be terribly, it would be way more detrimental to the kid than to buy the video game. That's for certain.
Well, I don't know. With that, there could be there are other psychological factors, you know, feeling dependent on an authoritative figure, or an authoritative figure versus an authoritarian figure, and pseudo-Stockholm syndrome, things like that.
Well, sure. I'm just saying that even in those extreme situations, the parents being there was still generally is what the kid wanted. Not, you know what I mean? In the kind of situation you would assume. But if the kid is a normal functioning child, even if he's a little messed up because of violent video games, yeah, taking his, you know, mom or dad away would be pretty terrible.
Okay. Punishments aside, punishments for the parents. Do you think that this form of government, this form of government overreach or oversight is appropriate for there to be laws about what you expose your kid to?
That's a tough one.
It is. That's why we bring it up on the War Pod, your number one source for all the issues and tissues. Seriously, yeah. I got a lot of tissues. You want to buy some?
No, they're used.
Hey, that just gives them flavor.
No, it makes them gross. Get them out of my house. I don't know, man. That's really a tough one. Like, I'd have to get into a whole long thing about that, but the short answer is it really depends. And in this particular instance, probably not.
Okay. It
probably would not be a great idea.
I'm going to say that as far as whether or not governments should be involved in what we expose our kids to, I'm going to say that it needs to be addressed on a case-by-case basis if there's evidence of the child being put in danger emotional, developmental, physical, or otherwise. It would be, for me, that's something that, like, a CPS worker.
Yeah, I was actually about to say that basically what you're doing is you're just adding that violent video game exposure to the CPS list.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, okay, I'm not saying that video games are a good analog for porn. What I am saying is that if a teacher...
They're getting closer and closer. Let's
that's,
just
that's
say
true.
That.
That's true. If a teacher noticed or had reason to believe or had evidence that a kid was going home and being allowed to watch porn every single day, then, you know, they maybe call CPS. You know? Maybe get somebody involved because that's kind of weird. Now, if your five-year-old is playing GTA, maybe that's a problem too. You know, art, I don't think art should be censored. I do think that not all art is appropriate for all ages. I mean, look at this show. The first thing that happens every single show is we establish that kids shouldn't listen to our show, and it's true. They shouldn't. And I think that listening to this show could actually be damning for a mind that's too young for it.
Mm-hmm.
And the unfortunate thing that happens to so many children is that there are parents out there that are not good at their job. And they expose their kids to things that they shouldn't, and it starts to become a form of abuse. And I think that it's possible for video games to do that at certain ages. So what I would say is an investigation needs to be done by someone qualified to decide whether or not a form of media is a form of child abuse based upon age.
Sure. And that's more or less where I would have gone if I would have gotten into my whole thing, that you should call someone to investigate rather than just be like, well, they said they did it, lock them up.
Someone we can trust, like Dick Tracy.
Sure.
Yeah, Dick Tracy can do it. Warren Beatty, he's never done anything lascivious. What?
Nothing, I was just picturing it. Dick Tracy's like... Did you show your child?
What? You lost
God of War 3? Throw him in the slammer. It's much funnier in my mind. I'm sorry.
There was one Napoleon, one Washington, one Shigeru Miyamoto. Me. Big Boy Caprice. I'm sorry.
Anyway.
Bad Pacino impressions aside, we're getting really Italian in this one.
Yep. This All episode right. will be called Italiano Spicy Meatball.
Death of Dim Italiano Spicy Meatball.
Yes.
Good. All right. So, Cheshire, we get what you're doing. You're going overboard. But that might be the thing that we need to do in order to get your point across. Also, make it clear that you're talking about... Oh, no. Jay? Jay Jinx. Jay, you know that Jay Riz studies education.
Yeah.
Youngest that a kid should play GTA 5.
Doesn't the ESSRB...
I don't give two craps about the ESSRB.
Well, I certainly wouldn't want my third graders playing that game. I'd say the youngest possible that I wouldn't necessarily consider it child abuse would be high school, maybe eighth grade.
Okay, and do you think that child abuse is too strong a word for it?
I think at the younger grades, I would consider it child abuse. I would consider it a form of child abuse. Because it is negatively impacting their social behavior, their emotional welfare, in my opinion.
Okay, so there you go. Three gamers who think you need to lock up those parents and lock them up tight.
Okay, I didn't say that.
And hobble them.
Public executions for the lot of them.
Oh, you know what we could do to the parents who give the GTA? Mm. The Blood Eagle.
No!
Yeah, the no! Blood Eagle!
No! Okay, I don't think that his parents should be locked up. I think maybe fines and counseling for first-time offenders, honestly.
Okay, what's a first-time offense? 30 hours in co-op?
I don't know, man.
first 100 hours in multiplayer? After, anymore. That's
you have
no-no.
To get on GTA 5 and clean all the highways.
What about mandatory achievements? Like cleaning up the highway or hooker rehabilitation?
That's awful.
Hooker rehabilitation is awful?
Just making that joke was awful.
Hooker rehabilitation is awful. J-Riz 2015.
I didn't say that. I said making that joke.
Okay.
Do you think those parents are qualified to rehabilitate prostitutes?
I think once they go through the in-game tutorial, they'll be fine.
Isn't the in-game tutorial, like, killing them?
The in-game tutorial hooker rehabilitation tutorial!
You know, our new ship has one of them.
Go back to writing my lesson plan.
It has hooker rehabilitation protocols?
Yep.
Well, get them started!
Alright, 7 routine activated.
Alright. Next thing I wanted to talk about was the fact that Nintendo is letting us down. Nintendo is letting us down because there was supposed to be a Zelda Wii U this year, and now there's not going to be a Zelda Wii U this year because they said that they wanted to put more things into their Zelda Wii U, and that the focus isn't on getting the game out this year, the focus is on making the game as big as possible.
So you would prefer it early?
You know, yes, I would, and I can tell you why. There's been this sort of weird trend in a lot of games that I like, but don't love because they add just too much crap to them. For those of you who don't know, Nintendo. I don't know that Nintendo is skipping all of E3 this year, but I know
they're not debuting Zelda.
They're not debuting Zelda. Because there's been a lot of outcry on the internet about how Zelda's too linear. You have to do things in a specific order to get the right item so that you can do the thing, so you get the next item, go boom, 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 in an order, which is a heavy contrast to earlier Zeldas, which were about exploration.
Well, it's in contrast to the first Zelda.
And the second. And
the second was pretty linear.
But the thing is, like, exploration was still necessary in order to do things in the game.
That's true.
You weren't told where to go. In fact, if you haven't seen it, it is one thing that you do have to sign in and prove your age on YouTube about. Hint, hint. Cheshire. Or whoever we're mad at about the topic before. But Aaron Hansen, a.k.a. the Ego Raptor, he did a sequelitis recently on Ocarina of Time and linear Zelda stories. So you might want to check that out. But, exploration was just a bigger part of older Zeldas, and now they are a straight line. And don't get me wrong, I love them because I love critical thinking puzzles. Like, that's just what I love about Zelda, is that it makes me think sometimes. but they wanted this new... Jenkins, your white noise is really bad.
I'm not doing anything.
Are you scratching at the front of your pants? Like you can't find your way in?
I'm literally doing nothing that I wasn't doing before.
What were you doing before?
Nothing. Oh, like God. I'm sitting here messing with a back scratcher here. Let me unplug my microphone. Okay. Is it still there?
It's better. It's a lot better.
Okay.
But this new Zelda is supposed to have more non-linear exploration. And now what they're saying is that, or what Nintendo's statement was, that the developers are now experiencing that own free form of exploration themselves. And they're getting all of these new ideas, and they want to put them all in the game. And I don't know that that's a good thing. Because... there have been a lot of games where once you get past the core mechanic, it seems obvious to me that you probably could have stopped.
Like, sure, but they might not be talking about the core mechanic. They may just be talking about more literal content.
Well, the word that they used was ideas. They have all these new ideas that they want to put in.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds... I don't know, I'm cautiously optimistic about it because I feel like because it's Nintendo, they're going to do a good job. Because with Nintendo, even when it's bad, it's good.
It's true. You're right. Even when it's bad, it's still way better than most of the stuff.
Yeah. But I think of Batman Arkham City. Batman Arkham City was a game that had too much in it. Just way, way, way too much. And I don't mean too many side missions, too many things to do. I mean, like, okay, the best example that I have is you're going through, like, some sort of factory, and there are pipes that are leading places, and, like, there's a waterway and stuff like that, and you have to use your Mr. Freeze ability to make ice platforms for yourself.
Okay.
And there's one jump... and it's a jump that I've made over and over again in the game. That same width for a jump. I know if I bat glide over it, I'll be fine. Batman bluntly refuses to bat glide over it. He does a different kind of jump, like he's trying to grab onto something, and he falls into the boiling water every single time. Because the game has so many different types of jump that... It messes up your interpretation of what the jump was supposed to be, and as a result, it's frustrating.
Sure.
And that's not the only example of like weird things like that happening in the game. So, it winds up being way too specific for something like a jump. Another thing that I was thinking about is God of War Ascension. God of War Ascension has so many abilities that are so specific to so many different things that you're essentially going into level one in every new area because the game is completely changed thanks to your new abilities. And it also stipulates stupidly on you have to use your ability here to be successful. Kratos has the ability to grab onto ledges. I was literally jumping up to a ledge and my shoulders were past it. But because I wasn't using my stupid ability, it didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sorry, you wanted to interject?
Yeah, I was gonna say, what's really funny is when you start talking about games that have too much in them, my immediate thought was also Arkham City. For whatever reason, Arkham City came to mind.
What was your experience?
Oh, there was just a lot of weird mechanics that just, yeah, didn't need to be there.
Yeah. Now, I'm all for the expansion of a game, but as long as it still flows well.
Sure.
And do I think Zelda's going to pull it off? Yes. And I'll tell you why. Because I'm a Jedi. And as long as I am putting my positive force energy out into the world, good things will happen. So there.
Okay. I will say that I am also optimistic about it, but I view it from more of a content standpoint than an actual, like, mechanics standpoint, because the mechanics of Zelda have gotten more complicated, but the core has always kind of been there since Ocarina, so. But they have added a bunch of weird stuff. I really haven't played all the way through Skyward Sword, so I can't tell you too much about that one, but, like, you know, Twilight Princess did have a bunch of new mechanics and all that, so.
Skyward Sword is one of those things that lots of people hated, lots of people loved. I would be very happy to see the core mechanics of Skyward Sword come back. With the exception of, well, I mean, hopefully they won't repeat themselves and include them, but with the exception of the loft wings.
Okay.
Because the loft wings are frustrating to fly.
I hope they don't bring back the stupid swing the Wiimote, swing your sword thing.
I loved that.
He looked so stupid walking around with a sword in front of him, like he was about to duel somebody.
So put your sword away. You're not supposed to be running with it anyway.
Everyone runs with it out.
First off, you can't even run at full speed with it.
Doesn't matter. He still looks stupid.
Okay, so
don't bring it back.
Hold it to the side.
Don't bring it back.
Hold it to the side.
Don't bring it back.
Hold it to the side.
Don't bring it back.
Hold it to the side.
Somebody remix this.
Hold it to the side. Oh, I thought you were going to keep going.
Boom, regards.
All right. So, next thing I want to talk about, oddly enough, I really didn't expect this. This is something that I saw today. Apparently, for those... It's interesting talking about Indiegogo, considering that Warlocks did an Indiegogo campaign. And it was wildly unsuccessful. And I think partially because nobody knows what Indiegogo is. And there was recently a Kickstarter for something very similar to Warlocks that did really well. So I've always considered it a misstep to go with Indiegogo, but...
Why did he go with Indiegogo, by
no,
the way?
No one will ever know. I've asked him. He was vague and... He suddenly became a drunk, bitter old man.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That happens.
Did you know that Johnny has the ability to turn anything he's sitting on into a Barker lounge?
No, I didn't know that.
Countless mall Santas have died. Either way. Indiegogo is redeeming themselves with something that I think is super cool, and that's that the Super Troopers are coming back. Are you a fan of the Super Troopers?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I actually didn't like that movie when it first came out. I was against it, and I didn't really care for it. But the reason it was, I've come to figure out, was because everyone was just oversaturating it. Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't go anywhere without somebody going, you know, shenanigans or whatever. And just, I heard references to it all the time.
That's because it was hysterical.
It's fine, but it's the same reason I still don't like Talladega Nights.
Really?
And yeah, because if I had a nickel for every time I heard the word Ricky Bobby, I swear to God I'd be a millionaire. No, but like, so I went back probably 3 years ago and just sat down and watched Super Troopers, and I actually liked it. And actually, it was brought on because I watched Beer Fest, and I really liked Beer Fest.
Wait, you really liked Beer Fest?
I liked Beer Fest.
I didn't.
I loved it.
I couldn't get into it. I don't know what it was.
Like, Beer Fest, Slammin' Salmon, and Super Troopers, I was like, there is no excuse for Club Dread.
I never even saw Slammin' Salmon.
Oh, really? It's pretty... Yeah. I was a waiter, though, so maybe I find it funnier.
Okay. Were you a big fan of Waiting when it came out?
I loved Waiting when it came out because it was autobiographical, like...
including you flashing your genitalia at your coworkers.
We showed our asses. Nobody wanted to
hold on. Hey, Jenkins.
Huh?
Jay Jinx.
Yep.
I need you to start over from asses.
Why did I cut out?
Yeah. Go ahead. Relive that part of your life.
No, we didn't show each other our junk, but we did show each other our asses sometimes.
Weren't you in, like, pants with belts and stuff?
Yeah, you know, whatever.
All right. should we name drop the restaurant, or shall that live in
it? No, let's like me.
Okay. So, Indiegogo, to get to the point, they are the crowdfunding media of choice for Broken Lizard, because they're doing a sequel to Super Troopers. It's Super Troopers 2. And I gotta say, Thorny? Okay, they released a video, and maybe and it's a video explaining how the crowdfunding works and, like, what people are gonna get. And it's kind of a funny skit, and I love seeing all the troopers back in action again. Have you seen the video?
No, I actually haven't.
Okay, yeah, Thorny, I don't know, there was something stale about him. I don't know if he hasn't done a lot lately. I don't know if these guys are going to be out of practice, or maybe he doesn't have the energy that he used to. I'm going to watch the movie, and I'm going to crowdfund it, because I'd like something to happen. Apparently, if you give them enough money, you can enter a beer fest competition with them.
Huh.
Yeah. Are you looking up the video?
What?
Are you looking up the video?
No, no. I'll look it up later.
I'm just checking emails, you know.
Yeah, you're doing whatever, man. Don't worry about it.
I'm just chatting with my guild on DC Universe Online, not paying attention to the podcast. Podcast is stupid. Podcast isn't my dad.
It's true. It's not my dad.
That's my dad, but, you know.
But it's pretty close.
I could.
It raised me. It taught me how to. Taught me how to play catch. Taught me how to swindle my first. I don't know where I'm going.
Taught me how to swindle my first love.
There you go.
Little known fact, boy. The only way to get love is to swindle it out of her.
Just trick her.
You know, distract her with a Rubik's cube. Get a mirror.
Just throw something shiny on the floor and throw a ring on her finger.
Then she's your legal property.
There you go.
All right. So, if you're a fan of Super Troopers, I just wanted to disseminate the information to everybody who may or may not care. They are having a sequel. It's crowdfunding it. They've actually already made enough. They've actually already doubled their original budget. And they've already exceeded what they wanted for the movie, which was $2 million. Because the first Super Troopers was made for $1 million.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was like 1.2 or something. It was pretty low.
Yeah. And so whatever else that we can add to sweeten the pie is going to mean that they add more actors, more special effects, and apparently they're only going to let Farva in the movie if they raise more money.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and out of the trunk.
That's pretty good. Pretty good.
But all that's got to be put on a standstill because it's time for me to talk about old board games.
Oh, man.
I want to talk about a game that I played just last night, and I'm super excited about it. And the reason that I don't think it's a bad idea to talk about it on the show is because board games are, I mean, by definition, they are a different medium from video games. And often there are board games that you don't see until years after their release because somebody winds up just bringing them over, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Particularly since it's not something that you can do on your own.
Correct.
You know, so you...
Yeah,
so,
that's the problem with a lot of board games. You really want to buy them, you're like, when am I ever going to play this?
Yeah. So there's less of a rush to your local game crazy, or wherever you go to get these anymore.
Game crazy?
Yeah. To your local Video Central.
To your local Blockbuster.
Whoa, that's dated. But no, last night for the first time, I played a game that I absolutely love. I was almost certain that I was going to hate it, but I still voted to play for it. I still voted to play it because I crap on its big brother all the time. And this is a game called Elder Sign.
Oh, I love Elder Sign.
Yeah, it's cool. Elder Sign,
it's really fun.
It's a condensed version. I think we called it D-spanded, as in D-expanded mm-hmm. version.
Of Arkham Horror?
Yeah. And it's really great. It's the analogy that I was given is that it's Cthulhu Yahtzee.
Yeah.
And it really is. It's a game where you throw dice around, and if the dice roll the right way, then you complete an objective. And if they don't roll the right way, then you have to sacrifice one of them and re-roll. And it just, there was something about the fact that first off, the game is freaking hard. It really is. It's extremely difficult. I can't tell you, okay, I've gone all the way through a game of Arkham Horror about 3 times. And it's pretty consistent that the Elder God gets absolutely no headway on us.
It's true. It's pretty easy.
Yeah.
Once you realize what's going on and how to play the game, you have to play certain Elder Gods in order to even have a challenge anymore.
Yeah. But with this one, because luck is more of an element, and there are special abilities that can force dice to land a certain way and things like that, so it's not mm-hmm. all random. But everybody has a vested interest in every single roll. Like, there literally wasn't a roll on the table from any player, and we were playing with 6 people,
mm-hmm.
that wasn't met with a, ah, or yes! Like, every single moment of this game is so high stakes that it's just endearing.
Nice.
And the best part is... lots of people say that you can't play a board game by yourself. Well, now you can, because it came out for Windows and iOS.
Oh, really? So you can play it like over iOS, like over the internet?
I don't think so. Oh, hold on, let me get J-Riz. J-Riz is the one who actually bought it, because she loves multi-touch board games. One sec. But no, it's couch co-op only. So you need to play your role, and then hand off your device to somebody else, or let them sit down in your chair. Give them your wireless mouse, because you're both looking at the same projector screen, etc., etc.
Okay.
But it does take all the setup out of the game, which is significant. Because mm-hmm. there's always so many pieces to Fantasy Flight games. It's constant with them.
Always, yes. Well, I mean, they're the apple of the gaming industry.
More like they're the apple of my eye.
Don't you? You made that freaking... Oh. What? Disgusting. That joke was just disgusting.
Well, now they are, because they actually like this game, and like, I think every other Fantasy Flight game that I've played, I've just been bored out of my mind.
I find them pretty fun.
Well, it's like, Twilight Imperium is also Fantasy Flight, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And notice, I've only played it one time and never again.
One time.
Even though Johnny keeps asking me to play that game, nay, begging me.
That's because he loves it. And I have no idea why.
Yeah, he loves doing things for 9 hours at a time.
Jenkins.
Hmm?
I never knew. You've positively given me the vapors.
I showed him my ass. What can I say?
You showed him your what?
My ass.
You gotta say it at least once clearly so I can clip you in.
I said, I showed him my ass. What can I say?
Well, on that note, let's go to Toppy!
Okay. What's so funny?
Your unbridled enthusiasm.
I'm sorry.
Toppy!
Top 3!
All right, let's do it. So that's, absolutely. Let's say words, preferably in English, and maybe a nap. Today, we have been talking a lot. Well, we've been talking a little bit about gods because we've been talking about Cthulhu. So today, we're going to give our top three gods of all time. So, J-Jinx, I'm going to go ahead and start us off with my top three gods of all time.
For sure.
The first one, Shakti.
Hmm.
Shakti is a Norse goddess.
Okay.
And her notable daring do's are going from Jotunheim because she is a frost giant.
Okay.
So traveling from Jotunheim to Asgard. Apparently her father was killed by Asgardians in some war of the gods. And so she goes up to Asgard and she's like, "Hey, I'm here to kill you all." And they're all intimidated by her. Everyone, Thor, mm-hmm. Loki, Odin, the four Furies, everything. That no one will fight her.
Wow.
And she doesn't even request one-on-one. And they said, "Okay, you can have whatever." Like, they just said, "Hey, give us your demands." And she was like, "All right, here's the deal. I get to choose my husband out of any of you. You guys have to make me laugh." And there was something else. I can't remember. There was a third thing. But those are the two things that I remember most, because she picked a husband. What is... Are you making vitamins back there?
Me?
Yeah.
No, I was shifting in my chair. Sorry.
Oh. She picked a husband. It was the god of the god of the sea. She got, like... She literally, like, got bored with him. And then went and married Odin. Just married Odin. And in order to make her laugh, because she hadn't laughed since her father's demise, Loki belittled himself by literally tying his testicles to a beard of a goat and playing tug of war.
Interesting.
Yeah. So that's what they did rather than fight Shakti. The proud Norse gods humbled themselves unto her because their armies could not stand against her.
That's crazy.
And she's my top. I'm going completely out of order on this.
Okay, sure.
So number two, Odin.
Odin's a good one.
Knowing everything that I know about Odin tells me why Shakti is so badass.
Oh yeah?
Not Shakti, Shakti.
Shakti.
Yeah. Who's Shakti? Shakti's a Jedi. okay, so Odin was immortal. Was a mortal.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and, I know. He's on my list.
Yeah. Okay, so for those of you at home that don't know, Odin literally was a mortal who had already died, passed on to Valhalla, mm-hmm. and he just decided to be godlike. He knew he had to drink from this one well, and so the well gave him a series of impossible tasks, most of which had to do with self-mutilation. And
he had to leave a piece of his body behind, so he ripped out his own eye.
With his bare hands.
With his bare hands. Then he had to hang himself from a tree and was stabbed 1,000 times with a spear.
Well, the amount of times didn't matter. He had to hang himself by his neck for 9 days.
9 days, that's what
while
it was, yeah.
Others were allowed to stab him at their leisure.
That's true.
And what you have to remember about Valhalla is that Valhalla is Norse heaven, which
correct.
Means it is one tremendous battlefield, one unending battlefield. So everyone, your ancestors, the seraphim in whatever capacity they exist there, they're all armed to the T. And so, yeah, there was a countless number of people there to just stab him for 9 days straight.
Nice.
And after which point they're like, okay, you can have infinite wisdom. Oh, and the thing was, is that he learned a few things while being stabbed. He came down from that tree 10 times smarter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they said that his wisdom increased tenfold afterwards. And so that's why you have to respect Odin, and that's why you have to fear Shakti.
Yeah.
And then, of course, now, I did not know this beforehand. This is my number three. I did not know this beforehand, but apparently Orcus, which I knew from D&D.
Mm-hmm. Is it Babylonian?
It's like more Italian folklore.
Okay.
Yeah, but yeah, he's like a proper Roman god.
Hmm.
A proper Roman hell beast, demon, horrible thing.
Okay.
The reason I love him is because of who he is in D&D. And he's that god in the pantheon rules who always rolls 20s. And you have to respect a guy who critically succeeds at absolutely everything he does.
It's pretty impressive.
Especially being a bloated goat demon with the horns of a ram.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of which, when I was researching Orcus, I was going through his classical depiction, and it said a man's arms and torso with goat legs and the horns of a ram instead of a goat.
Okay.
Would you know the difference if you saw ram's horns and goat's legs? Would you be like, hey, those aren't ram's legs?
Isn't a ram just like a male goat?
No, rams and goats are different.
Are they? Okay.
Yes, and goats and sheep are different. Goats have spinity horns.
Okay.
And rams have curly Q horns. Know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I thought they all had basically the same butts. J-Riz, what do you know about goat butts? Apparently, Jerry doesn't know about goat butts. He's just some sort of educator. Doesn't even know goat butt from ram butt.
Yeah, I've said something that the state tests kids on.
Well, I think that's the failing of the state. Shame on you, Texas. either way, J-Jinx.
All right.
Top
three indeed. All right, so my number three is actually is Odin. Actually, I think, huh? Yeah, my number three. He is by far, in my opinion, the coolest god in the entire North Pantheon. He is just literally badass, stuffed with badass, like covered in badass sauce, and like no other god I can think of can claim that they're the god of like death, life, magic, fate, and poetry. Like. So,
hashtag Beyonder.
So yeah, you know, we kind of went over him in your list, and but yeah, so Odin is just, you know, has a spear named Gungnir that can never miss its target. All sorts of just, you know, has two ravens that can basically tell the future, and oh, it's just he's a really cool god.
Oh. There was one thing that we forgot to mention.
Hmm?
He was once again cursed by the well, not only to endure pain and self-mutilation, but he was also damned to never consume anything except for wine and mead again.
It's true.
And apparently in the ancient text, he said something to the effect of, well, I was already doing that.
Yep. All right, so my number two is, this one's actually fantasy.
Okay.
And it's a god I'm surprised wasn't on your list, but I think has one of the most interesting backstories I've ever heard, and that's Cain Kalian from Pathfinder.
Okay. I've said this on the show before.
Mm-hmm.
The Pathfinder Pantheon is a blind spot in my nerddom. I know
precious
little about it, except... Okay.
I don't know too terribly much about it either. However, Cain Kalian is definitely a big bright spot in there. So basically, what you've got is there's this thing. Oh shoot, I'm forgetting its name. It's some sort of basically like a meteorite that fell down and it just wiped out the ancient magic civilization, okay, called, what was it, Rune Lords?
The Meteorite Men.
Yeah, anyway. So, but this star, this fallen star, is known to give godlike powers. However, you have to basically pass a test that has never been passed before by a mortal. So, Caden Kalian gets drunk one night and just bets his friend that he could pass the test. And his friend goes, nuh-uh, and he goes, uh-huh, and then wakes up the next morning, hangover style, a deity.
Did they give any allusions to what the test might be?
Nope. He was last seen entering the area, and then he wakes up the next morning, and he's a god. So, I mean, I haven't really read, like, the Pantheon book on him. They may go into more, the Gods of Galarian or whatever, they may go into more detail. But that's the basic story behind him. He basically, the hangover happens, and he wakes up a god.
I didn't know that that was an option for waking up with a hangover.
Waking up with a hangover and divine omnipotence?
I usually just have a lot of apologies to issue.
Yep.
That is fun. I like that.
Yeah, it's really cool, and I thought it was a really interesting little story. And it seems something that would come eventually from gamers making up their own gods. And but it's quite humorous to read. And now he's the god of like freedom and travel and like wine and song and whatever.
Wine and song and fixing the toilet.
Yeah.
Number three.
Oh, that was number two. I went 3-2-1.
Yeah.
One, actually, and this is going to sound weird, and I don't mean it super religiously because it's an actual religion that's still practiced, but just the Judeo-Christian religion, because it's only one God.
Yeah, they're monotheists.
So you can't really say, like, that one God, because they don't really give him an explanation. So just kind of all of it, just all of it. Is my number one.
The infinite that is the Judeo-Christian / Muslim God?
Yeah. Or just the pantheon and the stories and everything that has evolved from it.
It's pretty powerful, I gotta say.
It's really cool though, because I was doing some research for a game I was gonna run, and I started getting deep into the Christian, Judeo-Christian mythology and all the angels and the demons and all that. And, like, if you step back and look at it from a mythology point of view, not a religious point of view, but, like, how we view Norse mythology and Greek mythology now.
Okay, yeah.
It's really cool. I mean, just there's so much cool shit in there. And there's really crazy stuff in there, too, but there's really cool stuff.
Yeah, and one of the things that I like about that whole form of theism is that there's this big separation, especially in this country, between Christianity, Judaism, and Muslim, mm-hmm. And a lot of it has to do with the word Allah. Allah is just a word for God in another language. That's sure. All it is. In fact, there are references to biblical characters in the Quran. Like the Quran could have been a part of the Bible.
It's 100% true. But I'm not getting into any of that. Like,
well, no. What I think is interesting about it is that if you add in some of the concepts from Muslim, then that's when you start to hear the first mention of like genies.
Mm-hmm.
And ghouls and things like that.
Yeah, it's really cool. And so, like, I recommend everyone just kind of go and just read Wikipedia articles and stuff like that over them without the religious context. And it's actually really neat. Like, there's just some cool stuff. Like, my absolute favorite story is in the, I believe it's the Old Testament, where the prophet Elisha, not Elijah, it's actually Elisha, Elijah's, like, apprentice, the prophet Elisha was walking by some teenagers, and they made fun of him for being bald. So he summoned two mother bears from the forest who killed them.
as so should we all, America.
It's true. Well, that's my top three.
I'm probably going to clip this in ahead of it.
Okay.
Before we start this topic, just one quick disclaimer that Warlocks Games and Beer is friend to all faiths. And the list that we have here are not... The purpose of these lists is not to belittle, undermine, or bring into question anyone's religion or the deity that it follows.
I'm sorry, my number one made you have to add that.
Yeah. It's fine.
It's true, though. I fucking love that shit.
It's really cool.
It is super cool.
And, you know, I think maybe since we're pushing an hour already and we're about to get into the gods we like the least, maybe it's time to say goodbye, everybody.
Fair enough.
Maybe let's not jump into that into the pool.
That's probably a good place to start. All right, well.
Yeah, so goodbye, everybody.
Wait, Zach, we're arriving.
Sector G2B? Already?
Yeah. Of the androids, have they powered down?
They powered down like 30 minutes ago. I've been making them kiss.
That's... Wait a second. This can't be.
What?
There's nothing here.
That's impossible.
Look, there's nothing here.
Scan for debris.
Yes, there's ship debris coming up.
That insignia. I recognize it. That's Johnny's ship. Then that means this is where Dimmesdale is supposed to be. The entire planet. It's gone. Dun, dun, dun!
All right. Don't bring it back.
Hold it to the side.
Don't bring it back.
Hold it to the side.
Don't bring it back.
Hold it to the side.
Somebody remix this.
Hold it to the side.